At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. Explore the mind of MLB All-Star, Silver Slugger, and Gold Glove winner, Brett Boone, as he sits down with his friends from the world of professional sports. Now up to bat, Brett Boone.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. I am Brett Boone, and today on the program, I'm joined by the CEO of UFC, ladies and gentlemen, Dana White. Dana, appreciate you coming on, making the time.
Thanks for having me.
Got it. All right. When I was a kid growing up, all I ever wanted to do was be a baseball player. I got to live out my dream. What did Dana White want to do?
That's a great question. I mean, as far back as I can remember, all I ever wanted to do was be in the fight business. So, that's the only thing I can ever remember thinking, that's what I want to do when I get older.
Yeah.
I don't know what that meant or what that entailed, but here we are.
No, I get it. I mean, it's just kind of, you know, we're kids and everybody told me when I was a little kid, what do you want to do? I'm going to be a baseball player. I'm going to go play in the big leagues for 15 years. And, you know, people kind of look at you sideways and then you finally do it. And then you look back and go, how the hell did I do that? You know, you got to be a little naive when it comes down to this. I mean, what you've created, and, you know, I was a huge, my generation, how old are you? I'm 57. How old are you now?
56. I'll be 57 in July.
Yeah. So we grew up in, you know, college, and Tyson was fighting, and that was the big thing. You know, I'm a big Floyd guy. I watched Floyd for years. I saw a couple fights in Vegas, but this UFC, my sons are into it. My one son fights a little bit. He's a Muay Thai guy. So he's gone out to the local gyms and I watch him getting, you know, I watch him do the fight thing, but he's into it. So when these fights come up, he's like, you got to come watch with me, Dad. So I watched the last one in Newark where Strickland ended up winning. And I'm sitting there, all right, give me the play-by-play. My son's 21. He's like, Dad, all right, here's the position. I said, what are they doing on the ground? He goes, well, that's a dominant position. If you can't get out of that, Strickland's got to get up and go toe-to-toe with him because he'll beat him in that match. So I kind of watched it, and I really enjoyed it. And I thought, this is kind of cool. This is new wave. This is not what I grew up with, the Tyson matches. It's just a new generation. We're always looking for the next best thing in the United States. You know, it was soccer for a while. Yeah, I know internationally how popular it is, but it never took. UFC took. You had John McCain years ago saying he's trying to ban it. All of a sudden, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, the 250th celebration in the United States, we're having it at the White House. How do we go from McCain on the floor saying, get rid of this, to it's going to be at the White House? It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, it looks like an overnight success story, but it's been a long fought, hard battle, you know, over the last 25 years. You know, like you were talking about baseball and everything is about timing. And when you were talking about when we grew up, there weren't a lot of disruptors in our day and age. Like, there was a lot of old money, and to try to compete against big old money companies was almost impossible. Today, There's never been more opportunity for young people than there are now. I don't know if you heard about, I don't even know how the fuck I'm ending up going in this direction with you, but the have you heard of this movie Obsession?
I've heard of it.
So this kid was a YouTuber, and he was putting together shorts on YouTube. Find out what it's at right now financially. So this one of the studios approaches him and asked him to make a horror film for him. He gave him $1 million. He used $750,000 of the budget, and it is the hottest horror film right now. $750,000, it's at $35 million right now in the theaters off a $750,000 budget from a kid who was making videos on YouTube. There has never been more opportunity than there is right now to disrupt all these big business. Hollywood studios being disrupted, you know, big producers, you know, filmmakers. It's an incredible time for the younger generation right now. And I say it all the time. If you even have this much savage in you, you can literally get out there and rule the world right now. It's never been a better time for young people.
So how'd this all start for you? I know way back when you said you always wanted to be a fighter. I think you were in early, and correct me if I'm wrong. I'm really a layman at this. I'm here, and anything you tell me, I'm learning. You know, I know who Conor McGregor is. Obviously, he's a big, you know, he brings a lot of attention to the sport. But I was back where it was, you know, Chuck Liddell. I remember I had Randy Couture on the show. So what is the difference when it was back then? I think, when did you get really involved and take over and just say, I'm going to redo this whole thing and make it? And obviously, it's been a huge success.
So in the late 90s, like 97, 98, me and my friends, the Fertitta brothers, who own Station Casinos in Las Vegas.
Right.
Started taking jiu-jitsu with a guy named John Lewis. He had a jiu-jitsu studio here before it was ever a thing. And we started training with him. We became obsessed with it. We were training 4 or 5 days a week. And through that, we started to meet a lot of the UFC fighters. And we were blown away by how smart they were, you know, their backgrounds, their stories. And then I started managing a couple guys in the late 90s, Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz, John Lewis, this guy named Tiki. And through that, I got into a contract negotiation with the old owner of the UFC. His name was Bob Meyerowitz, and they were based in New York. And on the call, finally, he goes, you know what? There is no more money. I don't even know if I have enough money to put on the next event. So we hung up the phone, and I'm like, damn, interesting. I called Lorenzo Fertitta, and I said, I just got off the phone with Bob Meyerowitz, and I think they're going out of business. I think we should try to buy it. A few months later, we own the UFC.
And it's role. I mean, it's just like I said, it's football's king. Why is football king in the football, sports world?
So the NFL, not just the NFL, college football too, is such a great television product. And in your hometown, like I'm a big Patriots fan, you grow up, you know, loving a team and being loyal to a team. And one of the things that I love about, first of all, when football season starts up, man, everybody gets excited. Men, women, everybody's excited. It's a great thing. It's on the perfect time, the perfect day on a Sunday. And it is such a really good television product. I do not like going to games live as much as I like watching them on TV. Now, when you look at the NBA, the exact opposite. If you're watching an NBA game, turn on the last 3 minutes of the game. And, you know, but going to an NBA game live is way more fun than watching it on television. The thing about UFC is it's an incredible television product. Whether you're home with your friends and family watching it, if you watch it in a bar, and the great thing about it is it's even better live. It is the most exciting live sporting event you will ever go to. So because of that, we traveled the sport, you know, back in, when you're talking the Tyson days, they would do Atlantic City or Vegas because that's right, where all the money was. We take this thing everywhere. We go to Omaha, Nebraska. We go to, you know, Tampa, Florida. We take them to places that don't get big events. And every time we put on a live event in a place where people show up that have never been to one before, nobody walks out of a live UFC event going, yeah, I don't ever want to come to one of these again. You actually become a fan, and that's how we've grown the sport over the last 25 years.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
If I gave you it, and do you look at the other sports, and I mean, yours is a different, because yours is its own entity. So it's not like you're dealing with a bunch of other owners. But say I gave you the keys to the New York Mets. I said, Dana White, your formula has been unbelievable in what you do in the UFC. How would you change it? Now, all of a sudden, you're in a different dynamic, though. You got to work with 29 other owners, which in your capacity, you don't have to answer to anybody.
No.
But in that situation, would there be anything else you do different than what you see going on in sports? And I'm just using the Mets as an example for baseball, but it could be football, the Dallas Mavericks. It doesn't matter who it is. Would you have a different approach than what you're seeing across the board in ownership in the major sports today?
Well, here's what I think. The hard part about baseball is there's so many games, right? So many games.
There's a lot.
And a lot of them don't matter until you start leading up to the playoffs.
Right.
But I'll tell you this, right? Baseball is one of my least watched sports. You know what I mean? I'll get into it at the end. But let me tell you this. So the trading card market right now is off the charts. And we launched our own trading cards with Topps. Since we did it, I've totally become a lunatic about trading cards. And I last year I had to go to China. I was in Shanghai and Beijing. Now at this time, I was looking to buy an Ohtani card. I was going to buy this Ohtani card for $4 million. Right? That's how much his card was going for during the World Series last year.
Right.
And so because of that, you know, we were kind of, I'm in China and I'm hearing Ohtani gets on base 8 times. They go 18 innings. You know, I don't care a lot about baseball. Let me tell you what I don't give a shit about. The Los Angeles Dodgers and the Toronto Blue Jays, okay? I don't give a shit about either one of those teams. If I'm watching baseball, it's the Boston Red Sox, okay? I'm a Boston guy. So I'm hearing all these stories about all this stuff that's going on. Plus, I'm interested in the Ohtani card. And me and my crew, we fly back from China. As soon as the wheels touched the ground in Vegas, we went to the Bellagio. We watched every second of Game 7. And obviously, the Ohtani thing was big for me. But storylines are so huge in sports. They're everything. And I think, personally, not being a big baseball fan, that the storylines coming out of last year's World Series were incredible. So to end this story for you, the Dodgers win. I'm in negotiations for this Ohtani card. They win the World Series. Ohtani, you know, stud through the whole thing. Now he wants $10 million for the baseball card that I was trying to buy for $4 million, which was ridiculous. I said, good luck to you, sir. I'm out.
Because that World Series last year, I mean, it's one of the best. You know, I've watched pretty much every World Series since my playing days were over. And obviously, I was aware when I was playing that's one of the best World Series I've ever seen. Just soup to nuts, the 7 games here. It was unbelievable. You had every storyline, everything came down to the final out. I mean, you got the Blue Jays one game away from winning it all, when I just thought, you know, as an analyst sitting there watching it, they had no business being there. All of a sudden, they're one game. It could have gone either way. And I mean, just the plays, I'm sitting back. I've seen this a billion times. I'm going, really? That play is going to end that game just like last night, the way that game ended? It was one of the best I've ever seen. So the trading card, you're saying, just because of how epic that series went, he all of a sudden goes to 10. Now, What's your research right now? That card, what's its value right now? Is it that's just what question. You're willing to pay for it?
No, hit Chris Costa right now and ask him. The Ohtani card that I was going to pay $4 million, what's it worth right now? What's it valued at? Tom Brady's guy. So Tom Brady owns Card Vault, and They're popping these things up like weeds. There's one opening in Austin, Texas this weekend. That's how big the card business is right now. And this guy, Chris Costa, is the foremost expert on what cards go for. And God, you know what? You're a guy that, fuck, I just put it in my safe too. I before we're done, I'm going to walk over to my safe in my office and I'm going to show you something that you will geek out about.
Yeah, I want to see it. You know, the card thing, and it's, you know, my kids, they're into the cards now too. And they've got it right all of a sudden, because I'm hearing about all these one of one. I'm sitting there with players last year. They're getting shipments to the ballpark, current players, and they're having these, what do they call them when you're breaking packs? And I'm going, what are you doing? We got a game tonight. We got to get ready for the game. You're like, oh, I got to see what cards I got.
We literally did it today. We just broke packs today. We did.
Yeah, the kids playing today. They're into it as much as the fans and the guys that just do it as kind of their hobby.
It's exactly like gambling. That's what it's like. If you like to gamble, you know I do. Like gambling. And when you open a pack, I'm going to tell you another story. So when you open a pack, you end up with a card that's worth anywhere from $200 to $2 million, right?
Right.
So here's the story. Regular guy, you know, 9-to-5 work guy, him and his son, this is, I don't know, within the last year, him and his son go to dinner somewhere. When they leave the restaurant, the son says, Dad, can we go in this card shop and buy some cards? Of course, they go in. They rip an Ohtani logo, man. Okay? Which means the Major League Baseball logo with Ohtani. A week later, they put the thing up for auction. Auction houses are fucking calling me and, you know, the Ohtani cards. All right, I'm in. I'll put in a bid. And I can't remember off the top of my head. Maybe you remember. I think it went for $2.5 million. The card went for $3 million. A father and son walk into a card shop, pull that card. 2 weeks later, they got $3 million bucks.
So how about
where the card business is right now?
Okay, because what's the difference between ripping boxes and then I would assume there's packs inside the box. Can you buy the separate packs? So what's a pack cost? Random walk, father, son walking down the street.
$20.
Less than $20.
And you might, you don't know what you're getting. And you're right. It is kind of the gambling thing, like, holy.
It's like playing the lottery.
Yeah.
Just like playing the lottery, only way more fun.
Right. My kids ask me, they're like, Dad, your card, I looked on eBay and your rookie card's worth $12. I said, well, it's different when we play. Because when my generation, you know, you go back to years ago, the 50s, when my grandpa was a player, well, they didn't make that many cards. So you find an old, you know, stud player card, that's worth something. Then you go through my generation where I've had like 1,500 cards made of me and they're all worth cents. And you get the rookie card, it's worth a little more. But it seems like they did it wrong in the 90s, early 2000s. All of a sudden, they kind of these companies came out and kind of made it a thing to rip these packs, rip these boxes. It's pretty cool.
It's fun, man. Listen, if you've never done it, you know, you got a 56-year-old guy over here telling you how fun it is to rip cards. But I'm telling you, it's a lot of fun. And when you open these packs, like, you know, to hit a $3 million Ohtani card is like literally like hitting the lottery. But there are tons of cards in there that are actually worth money and a value. Right. So Chris Costa just hit us back. He says it hasn't sold, but the guy went from $10 million. Now he wants $20 million for it.
So he's playing. Well, obviously, this is a guy that doesn't have to sell it. And he's just, he's playing, he's saying one day somebody's going to pay me, you know, right now I might not have the buyer, but he keeps, oh man, that's unbelievable. And all right, well, and it all depends what happens with Ohtani. Ohtani might win the Cy Young this year. It seems like he's switching from hit and he wants to pitch and take it a little more serious. He's unbelievable both ways. I never thought I'd see it in my lifetime. What's going on with Ohtani? He's a unicorn.
You're a baseball guy. Would you say that he's the greatest baseball player of all time?
only because he has no peers. Does that make sense? No one's ever pitched and hit. Now, if you want to break him down individually, is he the greatest pitcher of all time? No. Is he the greatest hitter of all time? No. Is he great? Absolutely, at both. But I'd say combination, I don't think he has any competition. You know, I always break it down as who's the best pitcher I've ever faced. Well, Greg Maddux is the best pitcher, pound for pound, body of work I've ever seen. It's like facing a robot. Was Randy Johnson nasty? Absolutely. But if you're going to go pound for pound, 15 years, who's the best? I got to go with Greg Maddux. Best hitter I've ever seen? It's not even close. It's Barry Bonds, and no one's even close. But as far as that combo, the thing about Ohtani when he took the scene, I said, there's no way, because what you have to do to prepare to play, like you mentioned at the top, we got 162 games. What I have to do to prepare every day to be a hitter and hit at a high level, you don't have time to do your pitching routine on the side. So I thought no way at the big league level you could ever do it. I thought maybe one day with these athletes getting better and better and technology moving along, I said one day you might have a guy that might be able to go out in the bullpen and relieve. I thought, maybe. All of a sudden, this Ohtani guy, this guy's starting on the mound, and not just starting. He's like elite. So he's a number one or a number two on a good team. He's your best hitter in the lineup that hit 50 homers last year. If he was a guy that hit 20 homers a year and he was a three or four in a staff, he'd still do something that I never thought could be done. The fact that he's doing it at an MVP Cy Young level on both sides, I shake my head. And then he goes out and he steals bases and just gives you that little cute young kid smile like, I'm like, people understand what he's doing. He's pitching. He's hitting. I can't even compare it to another sport. It's like, are you going to be the quarterback? And then when we go on defense, you're going to be the middle linebacker and you're going to do it both at an all pro level.
I'll tell you something badass that I saw on Instagram. So I can't remember who they were playing, but they're playing this team where they're hitting each other. The pitchers are hitting the batters, right?
Right.
And then fucking Ohtani gets up and they hit him. So you can imagine the bullpen goes fucking crazy. He starts running to first base and he's going like this. No. Go back. Take the hit. Next up at bat, crushes a home run, after they hit him with the ball. There's just so many cool things about Ohtani. And here's the other thing. A guy who is admittedly not a big baseball guy, but I want to see Ohtani play. I actually want to go to a game and watch him play, even though I'm not a big baseball, and I'm definitely not a Dodgers fan.
Right. I mean, he's a needle mover. That's what I always say. You know, you got the fans that just want to go to the game. You're a baseball fan, you're going to the game. But the fact that for you not being a baseball fan, but if I said, hey, Dana, let's go watch Ohtani pitch tonight, you'd be like, I'm going. A guy that would never normally just stop and go to a Dodger Colorado Rocky game. If Ohtani's pitching and he's leading off tonight, I got to see this. And that's true. The difference. There's not too many people that move the needle like that in our generation. People kind of to a degree want to go see Aaron Judge just because he's 6'8". I've never seen a guy that size be that fundamentally sound, if I can put it that way. He's just he defies logic on his limbs are so long and he's so big, but he's so mechanically sound. It's amazing. It's just that I think the next generation of athlete, and I think we're always getting bigger, better, and technology and ways to train and all these things. Now I got these kids now, they've got these things all over their body and it tells them how much sleep they got when they need a rest. And, you know, in our generation,
that's only getting better with AI.
Right. In our generation, well, I had six beers last night, so I'm good. And I didn't have eight. And I'm ready to go, and let's strap it on and go beat somebody's butt. The fact about the only thing about the game that's changed that I don't like is like you said, getting hit by pitch. In my day, we take care of it from a team aspect. It's like if I get drilled, I don't have to say anything. I don't have to do anything. My bullpen guys are out there. They remember that, and somebody's getting it for me. Once that happens, we're even. Let's move on. Today, it's tough to do that. It's not an eye for an eye because the umpires won't let you. They won't let you fight back that way. That's the old school part of me that wishes it kind of stayed the same. I like when it's in the players' hands to kind of police each other because then guys don't step out of line. Nowadays, they do whatever they want. I mean, they're doing you know, they're doing the Michael Jackson when they hit a home run, and like they have four on the year. And I'm going, in my day, you pull that, you're getting one in the throat, your next at bat, and you're going to wear it. You're going to like it. You know, I got guys stealing signs at second base, relaying to the hitter. Could you imagine if I ever did that? I'm getting one in the neck, like next at bat, and I can't go fight because I earned it. It's an eye for an eye. It's amazing. It's amazing.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The gambling part. I see you gambling online all the time, and I laugh because I was that guy when I was playing. I went to Vegas, and how many are you gonna get? How much can you give me at five spots? And it was always, I got it to 10. Some guys give me 15 at five spots. So I know what you're going through, and I know that rush. It's pretty awesome. And don't let me get hot and split twos and have a couple double downs on one hand, because now we're off to the races. And I got one question for you. Do you hit 12 against their 12 all the time? Or is it how you're feeling that night?
I don't.
You don't? Okay.
I stay. Yeah.
And do you ever double a 10?
Never.
Against a 10. Okay. I used to do that. Depending on, I'm reading the board and how the cards are coming
you're
out.
Saying, oh,
10 against a 10.
Yeah, yeah. No. I fucked up. Yes. I always double a 10.
And how about an 11?
I double every time.
Right. An 11 against an ace, when he flip it and they say he doesn't have blackjack, I double it every time. He hasn't had blackjack. I still got to go for the 21. So I guess I played against the book a little bit, but I live through you a little bit when you're playing those high limits, because I know exactly what it's like. And I'd sneak to the Hard Rock. And if I wasn't hot there, I'd go to the Bellagio. I was a Bellagio guy back in my day.
I'm a Bellagio guy too.
Yeah, I might hit Caesars and go from there. But yeah, it's pretty cool. Fighters, I got a question for you. Speaking of getting hit, as a baseball player, the last thing I worry about is getting hit by a 100-mile-an-hour pitch. It just doesn't faze me. But I watch these fighters. I don't want to get hit in the face. I really don't. I don't want to go across the field in the middle of the NFL and get smoked by a linebacker. But I've had linebackers on here that go, I don't want to get hit by the ball. So it's amazing the difference in fighters. NFL guys where I don't want to go get smoked by a linebacker, but they're scared to death of a baseball hitting them with any velocity on it. I don't know if fighters are scared of getting hit by a pitch though.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, whatever your mindset is as an athlete, you know, if you're a baseball player and you love baseball, you know, you get the whole, you like you were just explaining today with these new kids, how you know, you got hit in the throat back in your day. I grew up with Marty Cordova, and we've been friends since we were 12
Minnesota
years old.
Twin.
When he tells
Minnesota
his
twin.
Baseball stories, man, that they're fucking hilarious. The shit that you guys used to do in the dugouts, the fans, the stuff that the fans used to do. I love his baseball stories. We have him just go off at dinner. You know, we'll be out at dinner, and he'll just start telling stories, and then, you know, legends that he played with and played up against, and his hatred for Jim Rome and all this shit. It's hilarious. But yeah, I think that when you grow up getting punched in the face and kicked, and, you know, everybody's worried about getting punched in the face. Let me tell you what you don't want. A leg kick. That's what you really don't want. Take punches to the face all day. You take three or four leg kicks from a guy who knows how to leg kick.
Right.
There's literally nothing in the world worse than that. And when I watch these fights and watch these kids just take 30, 40 leg kicks in a three-round fight, it's incredible how tough they are. And then, again, like you said, in football, you know, running up the middle against some of these linebackers and some of these hits that you see in football, you know, just whatever you're used to and whatever you grew up with and whatever your mindset is on you know, the game that you love, you know, I think that has a lot to do with it.
The leg kicks, you know, I told you my son, he's a Muay Thai guy, and he'll walk around the house. He's been doing it about 2 years now. And he'll be walking around. I mean, all of a sudden, he'll just kick the couch. I said, what the hell are you doing, Isaiah? Quit kicking the couch. I'm working on stuff. And it's like he's in training in the house. And he'll kick a chair. I'll be like, stop kicking the chair. And he'll be like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, just got back. You know, he just got back from a session or whatever they call it. I'm watching this fight the other night. Strickland, obviously, I pay attention. You know, you never know what he's going to say next. He ends up winning the fight. And my son the whole time, because he follows this whole thing. He's like, Dad, these guys hate each other, you know, this and that. I'm talking about Chimaev and Strickland. And I said, they hate each other. He goes, yeah, you should have seen. I said, well, I don't know how much of that, you know, they got to hype the fight. They got to get people to watch. And he goes, why are they being kind of nice to each other in the round? And I said, well, they might still hate each other. They might not be each other's favorite, but they respect the level that both of them fight at. And if you respect your opponent, whether you like him or not, it doesn't matter. There's no reason to be anything other than that. How much is the pre-fight really, hey, we got to get people to watch? Or how much do a lot of guys really can't stand each other?
Yeah. So it's a weird thing, because you have these two guys who definitely don't like each other. And then as soon as things start being said, it escalates and gets bigger and bigger. But once the difference between, you know, baseball teams and basketball teams and football, these guys are going to go in and beat the shit out of each other. You know, two of the absolute best in the world in their weight classes. And there's just a level of respect that is earned through doing that.
Yeah.
And I think different guys have to, and girls have to psych themselves up in different ways. And, you know, everybody's different in how they handle it. I mean, most of our press conferences are very, you know, professional, and everybody is very respectful to each other and things like that. And then every once in a while, you get the ones that blow up. And I know that Strickland took a lot of heat for coming out after and saying, oh, I'm sorry, and I'm this and that. First of all, that dude is all over the map, and, you know,
yeah, I watch him.
He's a bit nutty.
Yeah.
Says nutty shit, does nutty shit, and so you never know how it's going to go or how he's feeling at the moment or what he might say or not say, and, you know, it's just part of the sport.
And I think so, too, and, you know, on any field. It's like every guy I played against, usually most of the guys on the other team, I couldn't stand. But when we're between the lines for that 3 hours every night, doesn't mean I don't respect the level that they play at or how they go about their business. Doesn't mean I have to like you as a person, but I'm going to respect what you do if you go about it the right way. So I completely understand that. All right. I see you in the middle, those stare downs before the fights. Are you trying not to laugh after? I think about if like a pitcher tried to stare me down, how much I'd kind of just laugh at him. Like, what are you going to do now? What do we got? Or do you kind of get the middle? I see you kind of, when you're in the middle, you kind of, you're holding them back and you're kind of, but you always got kind of a smile on your face.
Cause I love it.
Yeah.
Other than the fight itself, that's my favorite part of fight week. And what my job is there is to make sure that nobody gets disrespected. Nobody gets touched. Cause as soon as any level of disrespect happens, that's when the whole thing can go off. And, you know, I get some of these heavyweights in there, like Derek Lewis. Like Derek right. Lewis had a couple of incidents, and I'm in there and I felt this guy's power. Like, if some of these guys go off, you know, what the fuck am I going to do?
Yeah.
You're hoping that there's a level of respect there that they right. won't, you know, throw me out into the fucking eighth row somewhere and start killing each other on stage. Trust me, I'm never laughing. If you see me smirking, it's because I enjoy it so much.
Yeah. And when you talk,
hold on, I'm going to hit you with this right now.
All right.
I just have my guy go pull it out of my safe.
Oh, the mantle. Wow. What's that worth?
1952 Topps Mickey Mantle autograph.
What's it worth?
Well, the PS10s, there's like three PS10s out there.
Right.
The three 10s, they say if they went up for auction, would be anywhere from 60 to 100 million.
What's yours? PS what?
That one is not worth
what is
60
it?
To 100 million. It? I literally just bought it 2 days ago.
So what would it grade out at? PS what?
I don't know. I don't know what this thing would go for if I put it up on the market. But I just added, I have the Jordan rookie. I got the Tiger Woods. I got the Tom Brady refractor that there's only seven of those that exist in the world. And one of my buddies owns the other one. And now I just bought the Mickey Auto. So I have
a pretty decent
collection after just starting to collect within the last couple of years.
That's pretty awesome. And the Cordero or Cordova, Marty, tell him Boone said hi. But and I know the stories he's telling you around the table, but baseball was great before this social media stuff. Social media, you can't do any of that stuff that Marty's telling you around the table anymore. I forgot to pass that on to you. All right.
Yeah, I'll definitely tell him.
A couple questions for my son. He wants to know, is Chimaya going up to light heavyweight? And I want to know, I think it was just announced McGregor's coming back.
McGregor is coming back. International Fight Week in Vegas.
Go ahead.
So, what's the date on that fight? July 11th. Okay. Saturday, July 11th, McGregor versus Holloway in Vegas, International Fight Week. And Hamzat right now is asking for the rematch with Strickland. That's what he wants. We don't know what we're going to do yet.
So you make that decision at some point?
Yeah.
You'll just, okay.
Yeah.
Does Strickland want it?
Oh, Strickland will fight anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, that's the thing I respect about him. He's not running from anybody.
No. Nope.
All right. 2026, the big fight at the White House. I got buddies in that part of the country. They're saying it's ridiculous. He says congressmen, senators, they're just trying to get tickets. Nobody can get tickets. It's the hottest topic. How do we get to it? I know your buddies with Trump. I mean, obviously that's one of the reasons we got to it, but how did it all come about? And this is going to be awesome. This is going to be one of the biggest events ever.
I agree. We were at a fight at Madison Square Garden, and the president leaned over to me and said, you know what? We should do a fight at the White House. And I said, yes, we should do a fight at the White House. And that's how it all began. Literally, when he says something, consider it done. I mean, on Monday, the White House started calling to start trying to figure out logistics and how we could do it and when we could do it. But he wanted to do it for America's 250th birthday. That's what it's for.
So when he said that to you, you knew he was serious right away?
Listen, he's a guy's guy. He's like a ball buster. Like, he likes to, but he doesn't just say things and not do it. When he says, let's do this, consider it done. It's happening.
How much did Ultimate Fighter TV show have to do with current state where you're at?
Everything. The Ultimate Fighter was our Trojan horse to get MMA fighting on television and introduce the masses to the sport that they've never seen. And anything they'd ever heard at that time was, you know, it had a bad stigma attached to it. We showed everybody with the Ultimate Fighter how great the sport is and how great the athletes are.
All right, last one I got for you. The guys we talked about earlier, the Ortiz of the world, that generation of fighter. Fast forward to 2026, Liddell days. I knew he was, you know, when I was a young man, he was the badass, Chuck Liddell. I'd see him in Vegas walking through. That's Chuck. Difference between then, 2026. What's the biggest things that changed in the game?
The training for the sport. Like the Chuck Liddell days, Chuck would have to go, you know, do his kickboxing, then go somewhere else to do his jiu-jitsu, somewhere to do his strength training. Now mixed martial arts training is has completely evolved. You know, and the UFC specifically, you know, brought the science and the training together. Our Performance Institute here is second to none, not just for MMA fighters, but boxing too, and other athletes come here, you know, for training from NBA, hockey, you name it. But the training has completely evolved. I mean, when you and I grew up, your parents would put you in karate or taekwondo.
Yeah.
This is the martial art that kids are taking all over the world now.
Right. That's awesome. Hey, Dana, I just want to say again, thanks, man, for coming on. I appreciate it. For those out there watching the Brett Boone podcast, check us out on YouTube. Download on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Till next time, keep it there. Thanks, Dana. Awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.